Thanks for tuning in to Farmer Theologian, a podcast designed to help you build deeply rooted practical theology. Let's get to work. Well, all right, friends, welcome back to a new episode of Farmer Theologian, our second episode of the year. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last time, but my plan for this year is to do these every other week. And so we're doing kind of a bi-weekly basis. But thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your response to the previous episode on the gospel in the center. I've gotten great feedback from that, great interaction over it. So thank you for that. Thank you for those who listened. Pray that continues to be an encouragement to you, and that today's episode will be an encouragement to you as well. But we're going to jump right in. This week, we're returning to one of my favorite topics. I love the topic of hermeneutics, or how to study the Bible. And today, we're going to look at one key aspect of that, what it is to apply the scripture. We're going to look at the topic of application. But first, before we get into today's episode, let me tell you about Squirrely Joe's Coffee. There are a few things as important as fellowship. Taking the time to spread the gospel is our duty as Christians, but sharing the word over a warm cup of Squirrely Joe's Coffee is their passion. Like the caffeine coursing through their veins, they're energized by their calling and emboldened to model their relentless faith. Based in only Illinois, their association with the endangered white squirrel isn't just a novelty. It's a reminder that His Majesty can come in the most unexpected of places, in a humble white squirrel, through a chance conversation, and even in a simple cup of Joe. Share coffee, serve humbly, live faithfully, Squirrely Joe's Coffee. Let me just add, friends, why buy your coffee from pagans if you could buy from Christian brothers and sisters? Let me encourage you, go to squirrelyjoes.com. Order some coffee, maybe even sign up for a subscription. Support this brother and his family as they seek to honor the Lord through their coffee. Now, into today's episode. All right, friends, as I mentioned in the open, today's topic is application. Application, which is a key part of hermeneutics. Now, if you're not familiar with the process of how to study the Bible, or you might have heard the word hermeneutics even before I just mentioned it, let me encourage you. I did a whole episode on the whole process. It's episode number 5, way back from November of 2022. If you're not familiar with generally the process of how to study the Bible or hermeneutics, let me encourage you to listen to that episode first, or do some study on hermeneutics. There's some great resources out there, because application is just one part, and it's really a late in the process part. And so, again, if you're not familiar with overall the idea of how to study the Bible, the idea of hermeneutics, let me encourage you to listen to episode 5 from November 2022, which covers the whole process. But today, our focus is just on one of the later steps, which is application. And in order to discuss application, we have to make some assumptions. We're assuming in talking about application that there's already been a faithful devotion to the study, and we're assuming that the work has been done to rightly interpret the text, because you can't carefully, faithfully apply the text if you have not carefully, faithfully interpreted the text. So again, if you're not familiar with this topic, or if you haven't listened to that episode, let me encourage you to listen to that first. This is honing in on the one step, application. What is application? Well, application answers the question, how does my understanding of this text that I'm studying and that I'm reading, that I'm doing my devotional on, how does my understanding of this text call for me to be a faithful hearer and doer of the word, in order, you know, in borrowing the language from James 1. In fact, let me just go ahead and read you that text from James chapter 1. It's James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, and I'll be reading from the NASB 95 translation. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So that's what we want to do. We want to take the word, which of course starts with the word of the gospel, the truth that is able to save our souls, and all that Christ taught, which we are to teach in the Great Commission. We want to take that word, the teachings of Christ, the teachings of his word, and we want to faithfully apply them to our lives. And I would say the process of studying the scripture has not been faithfully completed if we've not become faithful in applying the truth. We don't truly understand the truth of God's word if we're not faithful in applying it to our lives. So, and we see this from the very basic level. Plenty of people can tell you the basics, the basic truths of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, Son of God, lived to die for our sins. But it's only those who faithfully believe in that word and his call to repent and believe in that truth that are blessed by that truth. So it's not just a knowledge of the truth that puffs up that we're seeking. Rather, we want to seek a faithful response to the truth. And that's what application is all about. We want to faithfully apply the truth of Scripture. Now, as we start our conversation on this, let me give you some pitfalls to avoid when making applications. Before we get to how to rightly make them, let me give you some pitfalls to avoid. The first thing I would say is a pitfall to avoid when making application is adopting an allegorical hermeneutic at the step of application. This is a major error for many people. We may think, okay, I'm going to take the literal meaning of the text. I'm going to go back. I'm going to make sure I'm understanding it in its original context and those things. But then all of a sudden we get a little hazy on what is a literal hermeneutic and what is an allegorical hermeneutic when we get to the step of application. We can look at and rightly understand, you know, David and Goliath as a historical event and God preserving his people. But then when we get to application, we want to make ourselves David. We want to allegorize David to our lives or you know, Gideon's fleece, those things like that. These stories of the Old Testament in particular, we become really allegorical when it comes time to apply these texts. We want to be careful of that, friends. Be careful of switching from a literal hermeneutic in your understanding to a allegorical hermeneutic when it's time to apply. The second big pitfall, and maybe this one should have been the first, to be honest with you, one of the biggest pitfalls I see when it comes to application is we miss the most essential application far too often. And what is that most essential application? It is worship. It is worship. One of the key applications that we can make to this text of Scripture is to worship the God of Scripture. I see this particularly when it comes to Old Testament narrative. We think, oh, I got to find some way that my life is parallel to this. Sometimes the most basic application is just praise the Lord for his wondrous works. To look at the text and see what great things God has literally done in history and praise him for those things. Remember his excellent works and praise him for his excellent works. Be careful of missing the most essential application when it comes to studying Scripture, and that is just worshiping the God of Scripture. In fact, one of the best tools I think you can have in the process of studying Scripture, particularly when it comes to application, is to have a hymnal at the ready, have a songbook at the ready. Be ready to sing praises to the Lord as you study his word. So we got two pitfalls to avoid thus far: adopting an allegorical hermeneutic at the step of application. Second, missing the most important essential application step, which is worship. The third pitfall to avoid is to fail to recognize the distinctions between descriptive and prescriptive texts. Now, I've done a whole episode on this. It's episode number 34 from later in last year. I encourage you to listen to that for more information on this. But one key thing to keep in mind, especially when you're doing application, is to understand what's a descriptive text and what's a prescriptive text. What text is describing things that actually happened, and what text is prescribing behavior. Now, all Scripture is profitable for us. All of it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. But in order to properly, faithfully do that, we need to make sure we understand what's describing events that should lead us to worship and what's prescribing behavior for us. Make sure you keep in mind what are the differences between a descriptive and a prescriptive text. Two more kind of pitfalls to avoid as we move on here, and they kind of work together. They're in many ways kind of ditches on either side of the road of faithfulness, ditches on either side of the narrow way. The first is, in making applications, we want to avoid vague generalities. We want to avoid those kind of warm, fuzzy statements. Oh, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. And it's just vague. It's just general. It makes us feel good in the moment, but it really has no means of actually seeing if we're doing it. It's just a vague generality of a thought. On the flip side of that, on the other side, if that's the ditch on one side of the road, the ditch on the other side of the road is legalism. We want to avoid making laws out of our application as though we can earn our way to the Lord or earn our way to his blessing by following our own set of laws, our own set of rigid applications to the text. So we want to avoid both of those ditches. We don't want to be vague and general and have no real ability to be a doer of the word, but we also don't want to swing the pendulum the other way and become legalists. Like we have a set of checklists of applications to check off. And if we've done those things, then we're a good Christian and we can go on about our day. Avoid both sides of that, both legalism and vague generalities. So again, to real quickly summarize, pitfalls to avoid: adopting an allegorical hermeneutic at the step of application, missing the essential application of worship, failing to recognize the distinctions between descriptive and prescriptive texts, and then kind of the twin errors, if you will, of vague generalities and legalism. We want to avoid both sides, both ditches in that case. So what are some keys to making faithful applications? What are some keys that we can have to make faithful applications? I want to give you three of these today. The first is prayer. Every step of the process when we're studying God's word, including the step of application, probably especially the step of application, we should be bathing our time in God's word, in our time thinking through God's word, meditating on God's word, and applying God's word in prayer. Seek wisdom. James chapter 1, let him who lacks wisdom seek it from the Lord, and the Lord will give with generosity that wisdom. So let me encourage you, as you're thinking through, how do I apply this text? Go before the Lord in prayer. Maybe you want to memorize the prayer of the psalmist. Lord, search me and show me if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Be in prayer. Ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit who indwells you to give you wisdom when it comes to application. So the first key to making faithful application is prayer. The second is be specific. Again, you want to avoid that legalism, but you want to be specific. Give yourself an ability to measure if you're actually living up to what you're trying to do in terms of application. Again, avoid the hazard of legalism. You don't want to think, okay, if I just check this off, I'm a good Christian, I've earned the favor of the Lord, those kind of things. But you do want to have some specifics to it. So instead of, I'm going to read my Bible more, say, I'm going to try to read 10 chapters a day. I'm going to try to read 5 chapters a day, whatever. I'm going to try to read 1 chapter a day. Like, give yourself something that is measurable, not in the sense of it will make you righteous, aka legalism, but it will help you know, give you an opportunity to see if you're showing growth and sanctification in this area. So go for specifics. And then the third key to making faithful application is wise counsel. Don't be afraid to ask somebody for help. Ask your spouse if you're married. Ask your pastor if you have opportunity to. Ask other elders or leaders in your church. Ask a Christian that's just more mature than you. You should be in a discipleship relationship. So if somebody's discipling you, that's a perfect time to ask them, hey, what do you see as pitfalls in my life? How can I be rightly applying the scripture to my life that maybe I'm not right now? Or how can I grow in faithfulness? How can I grow to be more reverent, more sincere in my worship? These are good things to seek wise counsel on. So encourage you, if as you're trying to apply the scripture, you think, okay, I've got a good understanding of this text, I want to learn how to apply it, seek out wise counsel, whatever that may look like in your life. Don't underestimate the blessing of fellowship and having more mature brothers and sisters in the Christ lead us and encourage us in how we apply the scripture. All right, so we've talked a lot about application. We've talked about pitfalls to avoid. We've talked about keys to making faithful application. Now let me give you some examples of application and specifically some categories of things to look for. A little more specific. We're narrowing down into some more specific things here. What are some examples of applications or things to look for when applying the scripture? So you're studying a particular text, whatever that may be. As you're thinking through and you're understanding it, you've done the job of interpretation and you're thinking, okay, now I need to apply this text. How do you go about doing that? Well, first thing I would tell you to look for is a reason to worship. Again, the most basic, most essential application of scripture, of the revealed word of God, is to worship the God who reveals himself to us in his word. So look for in your text reasons to worship, reasons to praise the Lord, reasons to get that hymnal out, pull up a praise song on YouTube, whatever it may be, and spend some time in worship. Second, look for a truth to embrace. I think this is often an overlooked aspect of application. Sometimes the best thing that we can do in applying the scripture is to put off old errant ideas of truth and embrace truth revealed to us in scripture. So look for a truth to embrace. See, as you're understanding this text, is this what you believe? Is this what you would affirm as your convictions? And if not, seek the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to embrace the truth of his word, to submit to the truth of his word. So look for a reason to worship. Look for truth to embrace. Third thing to look for when making applications, look for a sin to put off. This is probably the most obvious one we all think about, but it must not be overstated. Scripture is a mirror to show us our sin, to show us our remaining sin. So we should be using it as such, right? Even the picture used in James chapter 1 is we don't want to be like that one that looks in the mirror intently, sees all our problems, and then goes away forgetting what we're looking like. We want to be one who uses scripture as a mirror to learn and to see where the sin is remaining in our lives and to put that off. Again, pray with the psalmist. Lord, search me and show me if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in your righteousness. Look for sin to put off. The flip side of that, the other side of that coin, the full picture of repentance, number 4, look for righteousness to walk in. So if we're putting off sin, we need to be looking for the righteous opposite. This is a full picture of repentance. Repentance is not just stopping sin, but it is beginning to walk in righteousness. We see this in scripture where we're called to put off sin and to put on righteousness. And the example I use frequently for this, you may have even heard this on the podcast, we don't truly repent of lying by just keeping our mouth shut. We do stop lying if we keep our mouth shut, and it is a good thing to stop lying. But full repentance is when we begin telling the truth. If we're a thief, we don't stop thieving, stop being a thief, or repent of being a thief by just simply letting other people keep their stuff. We repent of being a thief by, yes, stopping the stealing, but also by working hard so that we can be generous and support the ministry. That's a full picture of repentance. And so if we're looking for sins to put off, we also need to be looking for a righteousness to put on. So let me encourage you, look for, yes, both sins to put off and also righteousness to put on. And then one more, number 5 of examples of application or things to look for is look for a truth to herald. Look for a truth to herald. Dear friends, we are called as the church to make disciples of the nations, of people from every tribe and tongue and nation. We need to be those who are heralding the truth. So this kind of goes along the lines of looking for that truth to embrace. Also look for a truth that is to be heralded and seek out opportunities to herald that truth to others. I mentioned we should all be in discipleship relationships, and we should be in those relationships with kind of a up, out, and down mentality, or a Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy mentality. We should have somebody above us, so to speak, more mature than us, that is teaching us. We should have somebody alongside of us who is an encourager and who is helping sharpen us as iron sharpens iron. And we should have somebody below us in the sense that we're more mature than them and we're teaching them the truth of God's word. As we do that, as we're involved in those relationships, we should be eager to herald the truth that we're learning from God's word. So one of the key ways we can apply the truth of God's word is to look for truth to herald to those that we're discipling, to those that we're evangelizing. So again, let me summarize those again. So 5 examples of application. I know these are broad generalities, and I'm telling you to avoid that. So look for specifics within these general categories. 5 applications to look for. Is there a reason to worship in this text? Is there a truth to embrace? Is there a sin I need to put off? Is there righteousness I need to, by faith, walk in? And is there a truth to herald? I think if we'll do those things, we'll rightly be faithful hearers of the word and faithful doers of the word. Well, friends, I want to thank you for tuning in today. I pray that this episode is an encouragement to you and a blessing to you. If you have any questions on this, feel free to hit me up on social media. You can email me as well. You can find that at our church website, gracechurchtx.org. I would love to talk to you more about this. And also, if you have topics in mind for me to hit in future episodes, feel free to let me know those as well. Again, thank you for tuning in today to this episode of Farmer Theologian as we all continue to build deeply rooted, practical theology. One more thing as we close, friends. If this episode has been an encouragement to you and you want to support Farmer Theologian, let me encourage you to do 2 things. The first is pray for me. I know that I cannot do this on my own strength, so I would greatly appreciate your prayers. And the second thing is share this with a friend. If this episode encouraged you, blessed you, giving you things to think about that have pressed you on to love and good deeds, then please do share this with a friend. and then come back next time for the next episode, Farmer Theologian.